This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Gerald Bepler. Dr. Bepler is the CEO of the Karmanos Cancer Institute, one of the great cancer treatment centers. Dr. Bepler, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. My pleasure, Scott. Thank you very much. So as you said, my name is Gerald Bepler. I am an MD, PhD, and I'm by training a medical oncologist specializing specifically in lung cancer. I went to medical school in Germany, and I then came to the United States and did a postdoctoral training at the National Cancer Institute in cancer biology. I then went to Duke University, where I did my residency in internal medicine and fellowship and stayed on as a faculty member. And then I moved from there and ultimately ended up at the Karmanos Cancer Institute in Detroit, Michigan in 2010. And I'm the CEO here.
Well, magnificent. Take a moment. I'll talk to you about leadership in the Institute in a moment. But talk about lung cancer and what we're seeing currently. Is there struggles in doing enough screenings currently because of COVID-19, or is that still an issue? Or what are you seeing in lung cancer? And just talk to us about a couple of the big developments in cancer treatment and lung cancer specifically.
Sure. So to basically start off with screening and the impact that COVID has had. So we all know that over the last many decades, screening guidelines have been developed and oftentimes modified. And we all know that for screening for breast cancer, screening for cervical cancer, screening for colorectal cancer, and more recently screening for lung cancer leads to earlier detection of the disease. And as a result, treatment that can be curative for the disease, and so much better survival for patients, and in fact, as stated, cure for these four diseases. And so the impact of COVID, so we've been tracking this specifically for these four diseases on a monthly basis for multiple years. And as you would expect, we've seen a decline in screening for all four diseases. So lung cancer, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, cervical cancer. And the months where the decline was the most dramatic was in April. And in fact, in April, our numbers, screening numbers, went down to 5% of what we usually see. So since that time, the numbers have slowly gone back up. And in fact, for some of the diseases, the number of people who are at risk and who come for screening are back to where they should be, and that is for breast cancer and for lung cancer. But for others, it's not. So for example, for colon cancer screening, the numbers are only at 80% where they were before COVID. I think it's perhaps a little bit intuitive why this is, because screening for colorectal cancer obviously is much more invasive, requires a prep for a day or two, and coming to the hospital and getting a colonoscopy, being sedated, so a much more invasive procedure than it is to come for a mammogram or for a low-dose screening chest CT, where all you really need to do is walk into an environment which is safe, because we've learned how to take care of patients and of healthy people that are getting screened, to come into a healthcare environment, go into a CAT scanner or a memo machine, and then have the image taken, and then you go really right back home. So,
and it's starting to recover. I mean, it's starting to recover. It seems screenings are way back up in lung cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, still lower than they should be in and GI and colonoscopies.
Yeah.
And let me take you back just quickly, and then I'll talk to you about general trends in cancer treatment and oncology. You've had this magnificent career, raised in Germany, educated at some of the great universities here, Duke University of Medicine, magnificent. What about Karmanos Cancer Institute? Talk to us about Karmanos and a few of the big points of pride in the institute that you run today.
Yeah. So the Karmanos Cancer Institute is one of the 51 so-called NCI-designated comprehensive cancer centers in the nation. So these are the flagship cancer institutes across the United States where you have basic research in cancer, population research in cancer, clinical trials in cancer, patient care in cancer, where all these elements come together to sort of develop the next generation of treatment. So we've been one of those 51, and we've had the designation as an NCI comprehensive cancer center since 1978, so quite a long time, and so had a lot of opportunities really to participate in the advances that have been made in cancer. So I think perhaps one of the things that we are most proud of is that we have a very large portfolio of clinical trials and relationships with every pharma company across the world. And so we have access to new cancer treatments, oftentimes 10 years before they become FDA approved and so-called standard of care. So as a result of this, we have really, if you look back over the last 20, 30 years, we have participated in FDA approval of 2 out of every 3 new cancer drugs that have come to the market. So I think that's something that we are very proud of and that we want to maintain. And perhaps another thing is that we are one of the very few a dozen freestanding cancer-only centers in the United States. So meaning we have our own cancer-only hospital, ambulatory care operations for cancer, and all the research components. And we always look at how we compare to the other freestanding cancer centers in the nation. And so I'm very proud of the fact that we continually rank among the top 5 when it comes to, you know, outcomes for patients, safety for patients. And in fact, if you look at cost for cancer treatment, we tend to always be the best among these cancer centers in the nation. So I think we have a really great team of, financial analysts, operations managers, nurses, care providers, researchers, and so on, that really gives us an opportunity to take excellent care of the patients that we serve.
So what a magnificent thing. How was the how was it founded? How was that founded?
Yeah.
And so forth.
Yeah. So actually, it dates back quite a long time. So in 1947, the Michigan Cancer Foundation, abbreviated MCF, Michigan Cancer Foundation, started in Detroit as a research institute. And then in 1995, the Karmanos family gave a really generous donation to the Michigan Cancer Foundation, which then resulted in a renaming of the institute to Karmanos Cancer Institute. And then the Karmanos Cancer Institute expanded from being a research-only operation to also provide patient care by purchasing a hospital and ambulatory care operations from another hospital in Detroit. And so that made us a freestanding cancer institute with patient care in the United States.
Well, you guys must be busy, I can imagine. Just
yes.
Fantastic. And talk a little bit about when you look at the next 6 to 12 months, Dr. Bepler, what do you look at as your top priorities the next 6 to 12 months in leading the Karmanos Cancer Institute?
Yeah, I That's a obviously, you know, a lot of this circles around what will happen with COVID. And as you know, we are seeing sort of a second surge in COVID cases, unfortunately. So as a result, for the next 6 months, my top priority is really to keep our patients, their families, our providers, and our staff safe, because we don't need our patients who already suffer from cancer to, in addition to this, suffer from COVID. And we also need our expert staff to be able to come in and take care of our patients. So that's my highest priority. My second highest priority is, since we are one of the leading cancer centers in the United States with access to all these clinical trials and the availability of drugs that are not yet FDA approved, we want to make sure that during this time, we continue to provide our patients access to these drugs. And, you know, this is done on clinical trials, and there are special rules that apply to clinical trials, and it's more labor intensive, and we need a lot of staff to help do this. So that's my second priority. And then my third one is really to, we've started to think about how to plan for particularly a post-COVID-19 vaccine environment. So, you know, we are all anticipating in the healthcare market that a COVID vaccine will come to the market fairly soon. And then what does that mean from a point of view of who gets the vaccine? Do you make a vaccine for healthcare providers mandatory, should it not be mandatory? And then how does that really change the flow of patients and taking care of patients? Does it all go back to where it was before COVID, or do we need to continue to stay in the same, high socially distanced and safe environment that we're in right now, or can we become a little bit more engaging with patients? And the reason really why I say this is, so if I look at the impact on patients and families, what in my mind is the saddest part about COVID-19 in our healthcare environment is the isolation. So meaning, you know, patients can't have many visitors, and we allow only one visitor at a time to keep everybody safe. And if you imagine you're diagnosed with cancer and you possibly need to be hospitalized, or you have all these questions to your healthcare provider on how to manage your disease and what to do next, it is so difficult to do this when you are either by yourself or you only have one person with you. So it's always good to have to be embedded in a social network, and that is really suffering from COVID-19.
Yes, and so true. And your points, your questions, you know, how will things look post-vaccine? How do we keep families together and people having their, not just their families, but their partners, their colleagues, or others being able to visit with them? How do you improve the patient, physician, provider relationship as we move through these areas are such important questions. And your top priority of keeping your providers, clinicians, patients safe from COVID is so overwhelming at this point. Dr. Bepler, I want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. What a remarkable career. We'll have another podcast with you, I hope. We could talk more about your sort of immigration from Germany to here, your education, you know, whether you cheer against the Tar Heels because you're a Duke graduate, and all those other important questions.
Yep. Yes. Thank you very much for having me. It was definitely a pleasure, and I'll be delighted if you give me another opportunity for this.
We certainly will. Garald, Dr. Bepler, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.